This is an iHeart podcast.
Joe Biden didn't sound good and lied last night. I know you're going to find that surprising. We'll talk about that. We have a former NBA player talking about the culture war and what's going on with the Durham investigation. All that's coming up on I'm Right. You know something we don't think about enough? Something we don't talk about often enough? I know it's something we've discussed on this show, but we don't talk about it enough. Is other countries, other world leaders, and their access to our president. And this is what I mean. I don't mean backroom shady deals for Joe and China. We've talked enough about that for the time being. I mean, wrap your mind around this. Wrap your mind around JFK and Khrushchev. All right, just briefly, JFK and Khrushchev. Do you know that when JFK would go on TV and speak during things like the Cuban Missile Crisis, it was an all-hands-on-deck thing in the Soviet Union. All the leaders, Khrushchev and all of them, they all gather in the room and they watch. Why? Trying to figure out what he's saying. What's he saying? What's he not saying? How's he look? Does he look confident? What are we dealing with here? We got all these tensions. Well, I think about sometimes our leader, Joe Biden, right now. And then you look at what's going on in the world. Obviously, Russia invades Ukraine. China's just salivating to invade Taiwan. These are nuclear powers, all these things. And then I think about the fact Joe Biden, because he's president, he goes on TV all the time. And I think about Vladimir Putin sitting in his room with all of his scumbags around him watching Joe Biden. I think about Xi Jinping, the Chinese. I think about them sitting in a room, all hands on deck. Hey, Joe's sitting down with Jake Tapper. Let's watch it, see what he has to say. So when I play you just a couple little clips from last night, I want you not just to look at this of, oh boy, that's embarrassing. I want you to look at this and think to yourself, if you're Xi Jinping and all of his military advisors and political advisors, and you're watching Jake Tapper interview Joe Biden, what's going through your head as you sit there and watch this?
We passed $368 billion worth of help, which, as the same bankers talk about, is going to bring $1.7 trillion off the sidelines in investment. We passed so much legislation that significantly makes a point about, you know, for example, the American Rescue Plan.
What do you think they're thinking? If you're Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, you got more than 2 years left of that guy in charge, what do you think they're thinking? And I bring this up because obviously we've talked enough about how I think we're going into dark economic times and things like that. Well, keep in mind, the problem with putting your economy on the razor's edge like we are right now is it doesn't take much from external forces to just push it off the cliff. It could be stuff you're not in control of. We have a drought right now. That's a big deal. I just heard today that Florida, of all things, Florida's orange crop is going to be smaller than usual this year. Like, that's stuff you can't plan for. And foreign things. The economy's right there. Europe's going to freeze and starve to death. What if Vladimir Putin does launch a nuke? What if Xi Jinping does go marching on into Taiwan launching missiles? Our president is practically begging them to. Now, that's bad news. Here's the good news. He's definitely not running in 2024, no matter what he tried to claim here.
But one poll shows that almost two-thirds of Democratic voters want a new nominee in 2024, and the top reason they gave was your age. So what's your message to Democrats who like you, who like what you've done, but are concerned about your age and the demands of the job?
Well, they're concerned about whether or not I can get anything done. Look what I've gotten done. Name me a president in recent history that's gotten as much done as I have in the first 2 years. Not a joke. You may not like what I got done, but the vast majority of the American people do like what I got done.
Big question, of course, is when you're going to make an official announcement about whether or not you're going to run for 2024 for re-election. Do you think you'll make a decision before the end of the year?
Well, look, I'm not going to make this about my decision. I'm going to make this about this off-year election. After that's done in November, then I'm going to be in the process of deciding.
Is one of the calculations that you think you're the only one who can beat Donald Trump?
I believe I can beat Donald Trump again.
He doesn't even answer any of the questions. In fact, and I almost admire this, he's so inept, he just throws out meaningless terms and lies against the wall. Well, that's because it said I didn't get enough done, but I got a bunch done. You may not like what I got done, but basically everyone likes what I got done. Gosh, that's so embarrassing. But the question was valid, actually. Are you going to run? And did you hear what Joe's answer was? His one honest moment in that interview. Did you hear what his answer was? He said, well, we're going to see what happens in the midterms. That's interesting. Because I remember just last year, Joe said this.
Have you decided whether you are going to run for re-election in 2024? You haven't set up a re-election campaign yet, as your predecessor had by this time.
My predecessor needed to. My predecessor. Oh, God, I miss him. No, the answer is yes. My plan is to run for re-election. That's my expectation.
So what changed? Well, here's what changed. Joe Biden is no longer useful to the system. Remember, you don't have individuals in charge, really. You have a religion in charge. That's what the system is. There's one religion that governs the entire administrative state, the media, education, entertainment, sports, medicine, everything. One religion governs them all. And you are either a useful servant to that religion or you're not a useful servant. Joe Biden has been useful so far because he's just basically done whatever the psychos around him have told him to do. We'll get to them in just a moment. But now, Joe Biden is such a disaster that he's going to cost the system valuable positions of power in the House and Senate. They can't risk that again for 2024. That's why he answered the question that way. We'll see what happens in the midterms. He's going to get pasted in the midterms. And then, as I've predicted many, many times, bye-bye, Joe. He'll resign from, I got a cough or something like that. It'll be health reasons, something ridiculous. Now, why did he fail so badly, though? Now, we know what they'll say. They'll lie, make excuses. There were lies. They're right-wingers. Why did he fail? Joe Biden failed not just because he's a weapons-grade loser and always has been. Joe Biden failed because he surrounded himself with full-blown communists, with cultural Marxists, with people who've been educated in America's communist education system, and they're not interested in re-election. We talked about this a bunch of times before. People ask, and it's understandable because that's your value system, right? It's my value system. You think to yourself, well, I would at least want to, even if I'm a Democrat, I would at least want to succeed a little bit on behalf of the country so I can get reelected. Communists aren't working towards reelection. They're working towards destruction. They're going to burn. The people around Joe Biden are going to burn as much of this country to ash as humanly possible. And then when everything goes down in flames for them electorally, they'll ride off into the sunset and go work for probably a university somewhere, probably University of Pennsylvania. They just added majors, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as environmental, social, and governance factors, aka they added ESG. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, man, that's horrible. How could the University of Pennsylvania just add communism to the curriculum? You can major now in communism. That's crazy. Well, you're right. It is crazy. But let me ask you something. I'm a parent. I have two sons. They're getting older. Won't be long now. They'll be going off to do something. I hope it's not college. I hope it's trade school or something. But look, maybe one of them will need college to go into the field of their choice. Okay. All right. You know what will cost me? $60,000+ a year, actually $61,710 to be specific, $60,000+ a year to send my oldest son James to the University of Pennsylvania. Okay, so let's just do the math. I went to community college, give me a second, so that's $60,000+$60,000+$60,000+$60,000. So if I send my son James to the University of Pennsylvania, I will pay $240,000 not to have my child educated, to have my child educated by my mortal enemies who hate me and hate him and hate my country and want it destroyed. So you can be as mad as you want at University of Pennsylvania for this kind of ridiculousness, but let me ask you something. Who's the sucker in that scenario? Is it the communists at University of Pennsylvania teaching my kid communism? Or is it the Republican parents out there still pushing their children with this lie that has lasted for far too long? You gotta go to college. You can't have a good job unless you go to college. Well, yeah, son. Oh, wow. My daughter, who was perfect before, is now 22 with 18 rings in her face and green hair and just came out as a man. How did that happen? You did it. But hey, look on the bright side. The daughter you love, yeah, you lost her forever. She's probably hooked on drugs already. And not all that's, you lost your daughter. I know that sucks, but the good news is this. You still got to brag to your neighbors that she got to go to college. That is the most important thing, isn't it? Yep, little Tina got to go to Pennsylvania. We are so proud of her. Hey, did I tell you guys? Pennsylvania, woohoo! Start waking up and wisening up. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a former NBA player joining us next to talk about culture war things. He's calling out LeBron James, which I already love. Oh, we got a good show for you tonight. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's do basic preparations. Basic preparations. I'm not some disaster doomsday prepper. No matter what my wife tells you, I'm really genuinely not. It just makes me feel better to have some basics. Basics. Do you have basics? You probably are working on it. I'm working on it. Don't feel bad if you're not caught up yet. Remember, what do you need? Food. You need some kind of emergency food. You need ammunition. You need a way to access clean water. Do not dismiss that. Don't always assume there's going to be clean water coming out of the faucet. And you need a way to battle against infections. Do you have that? Because I know that's the least sexy part, right? Everyone wants to buy ammo. Oh, look at my new food. Nobody wants to talk about medicine. Jace Medical makes it easy. Stop talking about it. Go do it. Get a Jace case. Actually, get two of them. Get two Jace cases. What's a Jace case? It's a flight of antibiotics. So if everything goes to crap and your wife gets a little cut on her hand, you don't have to worry about her dying from it because she'll have a flight of antibiotics. Go to jacemedical.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 10 bucks off, all right? jacemedical.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Columbus, I mean, he initiated a new world genocide. He took slaves, he mutilated, he murdered, and they're gonna say slash and honor him. And so there are a lot of states that have come out and scratched the Columbus Day and made it Indigenous Peoples Day. But in our city, are we that backward that we have school districts that do that? I'm amazed, just amazed.
I miss basketball. I do. Joining me now, Royce White, former NBA player, obviously ran for Congress against Ilhan Omar. Royce, I remember when I was a kid, me and my buddies would get together and play basketball, albeit poorly, and he was Dominique Wilkins, and I was Michael Jordan, and he was Isaiah Thomas. We were trying out all the moves, and we loved it. We lived and died for it, man. And I never knew, I mean, honestly, we weren't a political family. I didn't know what any of those guys were. I just know, man, it was sports time, and we'd get to sit around and Christmas Day. And now it's all this crap all the time, and I don't even watch it anymore, man, and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what happened to Pop's head there. Maybe he took a shot to the head. You know, this has become commonplace for Popovich, Steve Kerr, a cohort of other NBA coaches, and a ton of the top or most notable NBA players and athletes across professional sports. And their narrative is, look, this is what I've been trying to get across to people. I did hear when I was running for Congress, but everywhere I go to talk about these issues. This is the greatest scam. This is the greatest socio-political scam ever run in human history, I think. And people tend to believe that liberalism, communism, and globalism are three different issues, or that they're three separate movements. But they're all the same movement. They all share the same end. And specifically, they share the same end when it comes to people like Greg Popovich and the narrative. And it's if you can't understand that they all have the same end game, look at the narrative that Popovich is driving. And it's a very clear and coordinated narrative. Trade your American citizenship for global citizenship. Trade your, trade your individual rights and freedoms for collectivism, and ultimately trade your Christianity for faith and technology. And those are the three driving messages of this movement, of this mainstream movement. And Greg Popovich is a running dog.
Well, our communists just chose different talking points, but they're all pushing the exact same thing the daggone Soviets and the Chi-Coms that have done and still do. Speaking of the Chinese and globalism, this actually is a perfect segue into LeBron James. Not a fan, never been a fan, but this human being is the biggest stinking hypocrite in the world, constantly crapping on this country, even though he's now a billionaire, courtesy of us, and he makes every excuse in the world for China that currently has concentration camps where they're harvesting organs.
Well, look, I'm a huge fan of LeBron James, the athlete, and I think it's important for people it's important for people to be able to distinguish the athletes and their athletic accomplishments and their gifts and abilities and talents on the court or on the field of play and who they are as people. And when we don't do that, we lack the ability to discern prophets from false prophets or people who we should genuinely admire from false idols. And LeBron James has become one of the biggest false prophets or false idols in modern culture, especially as it pertains to sports and especially as it pertains to the Black community. And LeBron James is one of those, you know, people who's been propped up, who has a very loose association with the truth, a very contradictory association with the truth. And am I going to be one to sit here and say that injustice isn't an issue? No, I think we have to identify what the real institutions of injustice are and how they're waging injustice against, let's say, the American working class and a $32 trillion national debt, for example. But to say that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, but you conveniently skip over the place where you make $1 billion is just dishonest, from the outset.
Finally, you mentioned individual rights, and it just it floors me. They're coming out now and saying it. Here's a Pfizer executive saying transmission vaccine doesn't stop transmission.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market?
Regarding the question around did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
Okay, Royce, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. I was told that I'm a grandma killer because I wouldn't get the vaccine, that I deserve to be fired because I didn't get the vaccine, that I'm going to cause a winter of death. I believe that's what the president himself said if I didn't get the vaccine. How many people lost their careers over not getting the vaccine, including people in our military? And we now know that the vaccine companies knew all along it didn't stop the spread, which makes every vaccine mandate completely null and void. Do I have that right, Royce?
Corruption of the highest order. I mean, these people should have to be brought before truth commissions. When we say medical industrial complex, I know a lot of people talk about the military industrial complex, and many people are becoming more familiar with the media industrial complex, but this medical industrial complex is just as pernicious, and all three of them are in on it together. And I think Pfizer is a perfect example. You talk about a military taking over at the time the military was the head of the vaccine initiative that was led in charge co-op by big pharma, And then you had the media carrying water for the whole deal. It shows us that the level of corruption and the complexity of corruption at the highest level is it runs deep, but it's not really hidden. I mean, you know, Pfizer thinks they can walk around and do whatever they want to do because everybody's kicking in.
That's what's amazing is how obvious it is. I'm an idiot and I know about it. So everyone knows about it now, but they don't seem to care. Royce White, please come back soon, sir. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, brother. Godspeed.
Be good. All right. That's stuff like that from corporate America. That's exactly why I strive so hard to be more purposeful with where I spend my money and don't spend my money. I do. And I'm not naive. I know I still screw up. I'll still go to a movie and then I'll find out afterwards, oh gosh, I shouldn't have, it's crap. They're pushing things. I'll go buy this or go buy that. And then I'll find out after it's crap, but I'm trying to be better. That's why I'm so thankful for Public SQ, because it's my tool to be better. You want a list? You want a database that's growing every day of companies that share your values, companies in your area? Good. You want that list? Pick up your phone. That's where it is. Download the Public SQ app. It's right there. Public SQ has done what we've wanted done for so long. They've compiled the list and it's growing. You want to put your money where your morals are? Download Public SQ today. We'll be back. All right, what's this stuff I'm hearing about the Durham investigation? You do remember there's still a Durham investigation going on, right? Just how much malfeasance are we dealing with at the FBI? We found out that the FBI offered Christopher Steele, the now disgraced Steele dossier guy, $1 million to corroborate it and couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. What does any of this mean? Joining me now, one of the good ones, Republican from Pennsylvania, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, which we really love, Scott Perry. All right, Congressman, what does this mean? Because I'll be honest, this makes the FBI look really, really, really bad, which is saying something because they already look really, really, really bad.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going a long way at this point. This is an institution I imagine that you, just like I, revered once in your life and now has just totally destroyed their own reputation. And look, you know, I'm glad the Durham probe continues. It's taken way too long, let's face it. And look, I know they've got to go wherever the evidence leads them, but this can't be just a bunch of low-level folks that were marginally involved, right? America's not going to be satisfied until we know the entire truth. So the FBI, it's pretty apparent to most people that are watching, is rotting from the top. We don't know how far the disease or the infection goes, but we got to rip that thing open. We got to tear the scab off that thing and get a look inside it and just see how rotten it is. Look, this is a step in the right direction, but if they think this is going to mollify the people of the United States of America who demand equal justice under the law, they demand that justice is blind, it's not nearly enough.
Congressman, here's what worries me, and I've had this thought, and I know it's a little bit dark, but there's been so much loss of trust in our institutions, not just obviously FBI, you could make the argument medical institutions, CDC, but let's focus on the FBI. There's been such a drastic loss of trust over the last 6 years that half the country, I would argue at least, doesn't believe anything they say. Now, as you pointed out, this is an organization, maybe wrongly, we used to revere. I remember I wrote him a letter when I was like 7 years old. I wanted to be one of the guys with the blue jacket, right, and the yellow letters on. Now, if the FBI showed up at my door, I don't care what they asked, I wouldn't help them at all. Go talk to my lawyer. The answer is no, the door closes. That's an unhealthy place for a nation to be when you lose that kind of trust, and they don't seem even slightly interested in earning that trust back. How do we recover from that?
Well, Jesse, look, you like me, I'm the same way. When they showed up at our vacation home, I told them, they started asking me some just casual questions. And I said, I got nothing to say to you people. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. In the past, you'd be happy to sit and have a long conversation about whatever they wanted to talk about. This is how you start, Jesse. Look, Christopher Wray obviously has to go. Leadership starts at the top. You're a military guy just like I am. The command climate is incredibly important, and it goes right to the top. The person that's leading sets the pace, sets the tone, sets the condition for what's allowable and what's not allowable. And to think that Christopher Wray doesn't know all the things that are happening in his organization is an unacceptable situation, regardless of why. Either he's incompetent or he's complicit. Either way, he's got to go. And he's got to go, if you understand my meaning, with extreme prejudice.
Amen. Congressman, here's my concern. Okay, you guys are going to hold hearings, and I know you will, and I applaud you for it. Yeah. The FBI is going to do the same thing we've seen them do 10,000 times. I'm sorry, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. I'll look into that and get back to you. And that brings us to a point of what? Okay, what do we do about it then? Because they're just going to stonewall again. What are we actually going to do? Not what you want done or I want done. What will we do?
Right. So, as you know, James Comer, the chairman or the ranking member on oversight, soon to be the chairman, Jim Jordan, the ranking member on judiciary, already have preservation orders in because we know they're going to try and slow roll the documentation. And like you said, when we drag the people in there, they're going to try that number. So I would say this to Christopher Wray and the top lieutenants in the FBI. I hope you've got a time card for the House Judiciary Committee conference room. A hearing room and a cot, because you're going to set up camp there, because that's where you're going to live. That's number one. Number two, the real power that the legislative branch has over the executive branches, I hope you're willing to work with no money, because that's what needs to happen. The legislature needs to stand up, see if it's got any courage, and say, you know what? You've only got enough money to go after real criminals that are killing little children, that are involved how about the cartels on the southern border, you know, those type of things. You got money for that, but nothing else. And you're going to have to justify every cent, and we're going to drag you in here 3 months at a time to go through your budget 3 months at a time to make sure you don't have one penny extra. That's what's actually got to happen, and the legislature is the one that has to have the courage. The FBI and the executive branch has the courage to run over the Constitution roughshod because they know that no one's checking them. Congress has got to reach down and see if it's got anything and do something about it, and the power is in the money.
Do we have the courage at the leadership level? I'm not obviously worried about the Freedom Caucus, but at our leadership level, assuming we're going to take the House, do you think our leadership is going to be committed enough to go through with that? If it was just you running the meetings, I wouldn't be worried. Is our leadership going to be committed enough?
Well, I will tell you this, Jesse. We're all focused on, of course, November 8th. We've got to win the majority first. And then the conversation with leadership begins. And remember, it's not leadership yet. We've already started asking them, what are you committed to doing? What are you not only committed to asking for, what are you committed to fighting for? And what are you committed to getting done, like, you know, how you treat us when we don't want to vote for one of your boondoggle things that the Democrats, half the Democrats support? What are you willing to do with Republicans that refuse to help out in saving the Republic? We want to know that plan. And if we don't see some kind of a plan, well, look, we'll see what the numbers look like, but we're going to hold you accountable, and leadership isn't going to be so easy at this point.
Speaking of the FBI, Joe Biden was asked about his son, Hunter. Well, I'm sure you've seen it, but here it is.
Reporting, CNN's reporting and the Washington Post reporting suggests the prosecutors think they have enough to charge your son, Hunter, for tax crimes and a false statement about a gun purchase. Personally and politically, how do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I'm proud of my son. This is a kid who got, not a kid, he's a grown man. He got hooked on, like many families have had happen, hooked on drugs. He's overcome that. He's established a new life. I'm proud of him. He came along and said, by the way, this thing about a gun, I didn't know anything about it, but turns out that when he made my application to purchase a gun, what happened was you get asked the question, are you on drugs? You use drugs? He said no. And he wrote about saying no. His book. So I have great confidence in my son.
But look,
that
doesn't,
Jesse, any kind of... No, please, go ahead.
Yeah, look, we're all proud of our children. All of us are flawed. And you know, all families have things that they wish that didn't happen in their family. We get that. And we know he loves his son, and we can appreciate that. But that's not really the question at hand. And quite honestly, it was a softball. Don't give us this low-level... didn't fill out the application right for a firearm or some kind of tax evasion thing. This isn't about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe Biden. This is about influence peddling, selling your influence in the federal government at the very highest level, not only to strategic competitors, to adversaries and enemies. So that's the real question. And of course, the you know, the person asking the question can't be bothered, because you know they want to just sweep this whole thing under the rug and think that we're going to be satisfied if Hunter gets a speeding ticket, and we're going to disregard destroying our country and selling out and betraying our country to our enemies. We're not going to. So with all due respect, let's ask some real questions here.
Okay, finally, from your home state, John Fetterman sat down. It went, well, here.
Our doctors saying that we're fit to do it, and I have demonstrated my abilities and where I'm at, and I'm leaving people up to that choice.
But we haven't heard from your doctors in 6 months.
But you've seen from me every day.
We did find that in small talk before the interview, without captioning, it seemed it was difficult for Fetterman to understand our conversation.
Congressman, strokes are a terrible thing. Obviously, I'm not going to poke fun at the man for having a stroke. I've lost relatives for having a stroke. But if Tom Brady somehow loses his arm in a car accident, he can't play quarterback anymore, because that's a basic part of the job. If you're a United States senator or want to be senator and you can't talk or understand people, you can't do the job.
Formulating ideas and articulating them are a core mission of representing the constituents, your bosses in Pennsylvania or any other state in the Senate, the most important deliberative body on the planet. Obviously, look, we none of us wishes what happened to Mr. Fetterman happened. We hope him that he has a speedy recovery. But there's obviously an issue here, and the reason we haven't heard from his doctors. And look, at this point, I think we all know that you can probably find a doctor to say just about anything you want to. We watched him come out on national TV for about 2 years saying all kinds of things about the pandemic. That's not the point. We can see it with our own eyes. We can hear with our own ears, regardless of his ideas, which are substantively problematic in a republic, in a free republic. They're an issue in and of themselves. But his cognitive abilities are of concern. And I would just say this: if this were Republican, if this were just any Republican, or dare I say, the son of the former president or the president himself, that was seeking higher office or any office whatsoever, what do you think this conversation would be right now, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Congressman, go get him. Rooting for you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for your service, sir.
You too. Semper Fi, sir. You too. All right. Russia, Ukraine. I never know what's going on there. So I need my buddy Brian Dean Wright to tell me. He's going to join us and tell us next. I know you can only watch and listen to the show. I realize that. But here's what I really wish. And maybe technology will give us this option one day. I wish you could smell the show. Now, hold on. I'm not being weird. Stay with me. You know your home in your office. You know they have smells. I'm not saying you don't keep your home clean. But you have smells. Cooking has smells. Pets have smells. It's life. It soaks into the paint, soaks into the carpet. The thing is, it's your home, so you don't realize it. Guests realize it, though. Someone comes in, your house has a smell. You know what doesn't have a smell? The studio right here. And it's just me and two other dudes who work here, so it should smell a lot. We have three Eden Pure thunderstorms here in the studio, though. Three of them. Go get them. It's just this little black box. They're miracles. They will take the smell out of the air. Kills viruses and mold. Took away my allergies. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you $200 off. That's $200 off a three-pack. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
Do you think Putin is a rational actor?
I think he is a rational actor who's miscalculated significantly. I just think it's irrational.
So if he's not rational and...
No, I didn't say he's not rational.
You said the speech wasn't
rational. I think the speech is... Okay. His objectives were not... I think he thought he's going to be welcomed with open arms, that this has been the home of Mother Russia in Kyiv, and where he was going to be welcomed. And I think he just totally miscalculated.
I love that. What? I mean, he's just not being rational. I mean, he's rational, but that was irrational. He's irrational. Gosh, joining me now, our buddy Brian Dean Wright, host of the great President's Daily Brief podcast. Less than 20 minutes and you're updated on all the news of the day and you get to sound smarter than your friends. That's why I listen. Brian, okay, let's before we get into Joe and Russia, Ukraine and everything else, let's focus on somebody that I don't know. Vladimir Putin. Is he rational? Is he in his right mind? I've heard rumors he's sick. I've heard rumors he wants to be like Stalin. I don't know who this guy is. Who is he?
Yeah, look, so there's been a lot of guesstimation and you know, people saying that they think that they know who this man is and his mental state. The fact of the matter is, very few people actually do. And the only time that we've ever heard from the intelligence community on this, they have said that, in fact, Vladimir Putin is not crazy. He is not at death's door. He is, in fact, a rational actor who, in their view, he made a profound mistake, particularly in his opening days of trying to take Kiev and other places. But he is not an irrational man, so we should just absolutely toss that out of our head at this point. He might become increasingly dangerous and if he loses people and equipment in Ukraine, but he's not a crazy man.
Okay, setting aside everything that our government and media has said, because I don't trust them, I don't trust our government or media, I don't trust Russia's government or media, I don't trust Ukraine's government or media, let's focus on what Putin has said about why he invaded. Because he did amass an army at the border and invade. Why?
Well, his view is that the West, particularly the United States and Europe, have been increasingly encroaching on what he views to be kind of his backyard, right? So Ukraine, the Baltic nations, now Finland and other places, you're getting much, much closer to his country. So he's saying, look, NATO, stop coming closer to my nation with your troops, with your weaponry. That is going to cause us a problem. You get too close and all bets are off. It's like if China were to, you know, set up shop in Cuba, like the Soviet Union did back in the 1960s. There is a red line, and Putin is saying we have crossed it in terms of our engagement and our pushing of NATO further and further into his territory. That's his argument.
Okay, have we crossed it? I asked that for this reason. I think the normal person would think, Finland? What's he worried about? Finland invading? That sounds crazy. What, is this guy paranoid, or is he lying, or did we cross it?
Yeah, I think most reasonable people will say, starting back in the 1990s, yeah, we started to get further and further into his territory. So that is, I think, a fair critique or argument. Henry Kissinger, of course, the great Secretary of State, he said, look, we've gone too far. We pushed too far into Russian territory, Russian interests. So it is ultimately Putin's, it's on him for having done this, having invaded, but we did contribute to the conditions. That's Kissinger's argument, and that's other people's argument. So people can decide if that's fair or not, but I do think that there is a reasonable argument to be made that this atmosphere of conflict, we have contributed to it.
Okay, now give us an update on what's going on. I saw not only are we sending, I believe it was missiles over there now, we're also sending the head of the teachers union. What's going on?
Well, we can get to that in a second, but holy smokes. Man, over the weekend, the past couple of days, we've had a horrific series of events. A bridge was blown up, a very important bridge. $4 billion is what it cost to build. Vladimir Putin put that in starting 2014 through 2018. That bridge was very important, not just because it was allowing vehicles to go through, but the rail line, that was the really important one in terms of the military implications, right? So from Crimea to other parts of Russia and Ukraine, that rail line was serving as a critical link. That has been damaged. It's currently being repaired, but it was a big deal. It's also a big deal because Crimea and that $4 billion bridge represented to Vladimir Putin and other nationalists in Russia sort of a disconnect from what they were trying to solve or fix or heal, as it were, from their minds. Back in the 1950s, Crimea used to be part of the Soviet Union. Then they gave it away to Ukraine back in the 1950s. So this bridge meant more than just, you know, helping with transit, right, or even with the war. It was a psychological piece there about the bridge and Crimea. So in response, the Ukrainians, who, of course, probably blew it up, they were like, yeah, what else you got, Russians? What do you throw at us? So Putin said, all right, let me send you some missiles. And that's what he did on Monday, blew up all kinds of things throughout Ukraine. We can argue about the tactical benefit from that. But what we know this morning, 30% of Ukraine's electricity infrastructure was targeted and destroyed. So there were impacts there on the civilian targets that they were after, which is the big headline here. We are now seeing on a very overt and a very aggressive basis that the Russians are targeting civilian infrastructure. It's gloves off. The people are now targets. The infrastructure are now targets. And that means greater escalation in this war. And that's why you heard Joe Biden say that we are with Ukraine forever, no matter what it takes, for as long as it takes, which comes with a huge, huge obligation. No matter what the Ukrainians do, we have to be beside them. Yikes, what's bridling Zelensky and other Ukrainians from doing some really escalatory stuff, because they know that we're always going to be with them, right? It's kind of like the dog normally wags a tail. Well, now we've got the tail wagging the dog. And that's the implication of this strike and the United States and Joe Biden saying, we are with you, Ukraine, no matter what, or as long as it takes.
Golly. Okay, what? This has global implications beyond just whatever regions Ukraine has, Russia wants. What are the global implications of this?
Huge. So we saw immediately after the strikes, spikes in natural gas prices and wheat prices. We're also seeing acts of sabotage. Again, we all know about Nord Stream 1 and 2. You and I talked about that. We're seeing acts of sabotage in Germany. One of the rail lines was actually, the communications cable was cut in several different places. The German government saying that it was an act of sabotage, but done by an individual, but rather by a state actor, almost certainly. We're seeing what we anticipate to be a cyber attack in Denmark and here in the United States, taking off websites here in this country related to some airports in Atlanta and Los Angeles. Now, it didn't appear to disrupt operations, but it was sort of a proof of concept that the Russians group has acknowledged that they did it, kind of a proof of concept to say, we can attack you. In Denmark, they brought part of an electricity grid down on the island of Bornholm. So we're starting to see this ripple effect from these strikes in Ukraine over the weekend. This thing is getting worse. It's not getting better. And we have more and more rhetoric to include by our own leadership saying, we are all in on this. And the Russians saying, we are too. When you got two nuclear powers saying that, that is a bad, bad deal.
What ability, setting the nukes aside for a moment, what ability does Russia have to seriously hurt us? I saw the stuff about the cyber attacks. From my understanding, it didn't really disrupt operations at the airports, but can they do that? Can they stop pipelines? What can they do, or what do we think they have the ability to do to us?
Yeah, absolutely. Their cyber capabilities are very, very good. We have long been expecting more of those kinds of demonstrations and strikes in this country. Yes to shutting down pipelines. Yes to turning off electricity grids. Yes to shutting down our banking systems or degrading parts of it. Probably not nationwide, but regions, you know, targeting specific banks. So their cyber capabilities are very good. The FBI and the NSA, for all the problems that they have, they have been apparently trying to harden some of our systems. But nevertheless, the Russians are very good at this. So I think that we are going to see throughout, if I could sort of forecast the next couple of months, the Russians are going to try to freeze out the Europeans. And they're going to do that through lots of different ways, one of which, of course, is controlling natural gas supplies. But the second is with this cyber stuff, right? Sabotage operation, kind of World War II-like stuff, blowing up gas tanks and gas lines, right? They can do that here in the United States too, but their main target really is the Europeans. They want to force Europe into a peace deal. So I think we're going to see a lot more of these kinds of sabotage and cyber attacks in the coming weeks and months.
May you live in interesting times. Brian Dean Wright, it's the President's Daily Brief podcast. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it, man.
You bet.
All right. We're going to have a light in the mood. It's going to make you laugh next. I got the Snickers, something fierce, when my producer Matt sent it to me this morning. I was showing the wife, I was laughing. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about your crappy health insurance. Now, I'm not insulting your health insurance plan. I'm insulting your health insurance company, because our medical institutions have really revealed themselves, and especially in recent years, as not being on our side. It's hard to find one that's on your side. You don't believe me? I want you to do me a favor right now. Go look at your health insurance card. Make sure you know what health insurance company is yours. Go look up your health insurance company in Pride Month. Do a little internet search. Tell me what you find. Switch to OneShare Health, a faith-based insurance company that doesn't hate you, doesn't hate your values. In fact, they support your values. 5% of your monthly every month goes to veterans struggling with PTSD, and the coverage is great. The prices are great. Put your money where your morals are. go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. We'll be back. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And look, I don't have any commentary to add. Just enjoy.
Oh my God!
Back up. One baby bear.
Baby!
Baby,
come! No! No!
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast.